It really takes research. I mean, you really have to DYOR, which is do your own research for this. I can give you ideas and things, but again, does the project speak to you? Is this something you want to be a part of? Because sure, you can flip NFTs, but that day's hard now, man.
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
What's up? Excited to have you guys on the channel today. I have a special guest on with me who is an NFT expert and knows all things NFT and is my go-to for learning, education, seeing what projects are awesome. And that actually is where we started this video whole idea. It was yesterday I was driving in my truck coming back home and I got a message from Jeffrey. And Jeffrey Bannock was like, hey, dude, you got to go check out this very specific project. They just dropped her at this rate. And this is over here is a good sign. I guarantee it'll double by Friday. And I'm like, whoa, this is awesome. But you've done this enough times that I thought it'd be cool to bring you on. And I think it's one of the biggest issues people have with the NFT space. They don't know what to look for. They don't know your expertise. You live and breathe this. You're the top expert that I know to follow in all the NFT space. So I'm very, very honored to have you on here. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, brother. I'm so happy to be here. Welcome.
Yeah. Thanks for being on here, right? So if you could just kind of walk us through, like, I think people are now getting more sold on the concept of NFT, but so new that they really don't know what projects to look at. What is a good criteria? What are things to look for things like what is known as industry as a rug pull, you know, and right. All that kind of stuff. If you kind of walk us through and kind of grab the wheel, share the screen, do whatever you'd like.
Sure. You pull this up here and.
Yeah, there's enough newness. It's kind of tough.
So first thing I want to do is I want to talk about some software that's really helpful. This is a free software that's called NFTnerds.ai. This is an actual tracking software that I use a lot. It breaks down everything you need to know about NFTs and where they are. Now, at the top right here, there's four different links. There's Firehose, Training Asset, and FAQ. Now, if you hit Firehose, what this is all the different NFTs that are either being bought or listed live. So literally this one right here, this guy, he just bought this. This one right here, this Goblin Town, this guy just listed it for 0.95. So you can literally track everything. Plus it shows live what mints are going on. This is just in the last 5 minutes. These mints are live right now. I don't know if you noticed, you could actually see one of them shifted just a second ago from top to bottom. So this not only shows the volume that they're doing, like for instance, this Scribbles right here, it started at 0.06, but it, see how it's dropped down versus something like you've got this one here, this Odd Mob EVO, which you can see has picked up traction. So this is a quick way right off the bat, you can see when something's minting. Now for someone new, minting is the very first time an NFT is ever made. It's actually when it's made on the blockchain, it's what's called minting. And the reason why you want to know about a minting is it allows you to get in on like the ground floor of the NFT at the lowest price available. So that's one of the reasons you want to track this stuff, know what's moving and what you can get in on. Now, one of the other stuff you have here, so this actually shows collections that are trending, as well as you can do it to the minute. You can break it down. There is an actual sign up for that, but you can go to 15 minutes here. You can see right now there's different. You can see their actual movement, how much they're selling, what they're selling it for. And then you can actually go in here and you can actually check out a whole, let me go to the fire hose. This is easier. So let's say we wanted to go in deep on one of these guys, like here's all Moonbirds. Let's just click on that. Now, when you open it, it actually shows you the supply. This one doesn't have any, let me grab some more data. So when you click on it, you can actually get full detail about the entire project. Now, I clicked on Moonbird. So right here to the far side, to the left, these are live listings. These are live sellings. Here you can see what they're selling at. And you can actually see right now at 10:35, you can come in here and see exactly what's being bought. Wow. Plus, I can see who's buying it. So for instance, if I go in and let me see if I can find, let me click on one of these guys right here. If I go in, I can go in now and click on this, and then it'll show, I can see who's actually buying, who bought this. I can go check out their wallet. There's all different types of amazing stuff you can do with this software. This is really one of the things, I'm not gonna get too deep into it. Check out YouTube channels, things like that, for able to find detail. But this is one thing you need to start out with. You need to understand a software that you can use that you understand that's gonna show you what's going on in the industry. Now, beyond that, when you actually do or your research, some of the first things you need to check out. First of all, when you go to, let's go with just OK Bears here. So we're going to go to, this is OpenSea. For people that don't know, this is the largest marketplace there is for NFTs right now. It's pretty much everything that's bought and sold is done here. Now, when you come and check out a project, you're going to always see off to the side here, to the right, you'll see their website, you'll see their Discord, that type of thing. One of the things you always want to check out is, first of all, you want to check out their Twitter. So let's go to their website just so we can find out their Twitter. You're going to always, for every good website, they're going to always have at the very top or at the very bottom links to all their social media. So let's go to their Twitter, first of all, check that out. Now, for this one, they've got 150,000 followers, and they've got at least 1,000 per each one. You want anywhere from 10 to 5% is average for Twitter. Anything less than 5% of total amount of followers and to engagement tends to be not always the best Twitter accounts to follow. A lot of them can be bots.
Yeah. And on that question, like, I mean, would you even be interested in a project that doesn't have a Twitter? Like, is it that big? Like,
it's that big. Twitter is the place for announcements. It's for like what's coming up. It's for quick thought processes and understanding what's going on in the project. Plus, they have Twitter spaces where the founders will do AMAs or ask me anythings, and they'll literally break down everything about the project. So wow. Twitter and Discord are the number one and number two platforms for NFTs. If a project doesn't have a Twitter or doesn't have a Discord, 99% of people that are in NFTs won't mess with them at all.
Okay.
And the same thing goes for the Discord. If you go to Discord and they've got 100,000 people in the Discord, but you're only seeing like 100 or you know, a very small percentage that's engaging, a lot of those are bots, or even worse, it's people just trying to get a whitelist spot because they want to flip them. They don't care anything about the project themselves.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. So then you're talking about like the number of followers based on the number of likes. I mean, it's that big. You want a 10%. And is it just because it shows engagement, which shows how many people are likely to buy?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you recently saw this either, but Elon Musk put out a tweet when he was investigating Twitter recently that said that up to 90% of all accounts are bots potentially on Twitter. Yeah. So that plays into a lot of this that these people too, one of the things that the problems that bad marketers will do is they'll go out and they'll get influencers to send people to their Twitter, but the people don't care about their Twitter. They only went there because this influencer said, or they're running a contest to get something. You know what I mean? You want people that are actually invested in your project and care about it in the long run, because sure, NFTs can make you money quick and now potentially, but are they meant for that? Not really. Just like baseball cards weren't intended to be bought and sold and flipped. You know what? They're meant to be enjoyed. Just like there's a technology, the underlying technology in NFTs is about digital ownership. It's not about flipping it to make money. Sure, you can, but that's going to fade away. Soon enough, these PFP or profile picture projects are going to fade away and become a very small percentage. The only reason they're so big now is a lot of people are seeing it as a way to flex. I don't own a Lambo. I own a Bored Ape. So that's one of the things. People are now using him as pictures of flex. That's why you see Eminem and Justin Bieber and Madonna and all these people buying high level or what we call blue chip. Blue chip are the ones that are stable that you can sort of count are going to always be around. But they also sell for hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars.
Wow.
So, yeah. So that's the thing is, a lot of times you're going to find that people are getting into this for the flex. And there's the other thing. When you own these, a lot of times you own the IP rights. So, for instance, a lot of people might have heard of Bored Ape Yacht Club. Well, recently in California, a gentleman owned a Bored Ape. So he decided to create a whole restaurant based off his Bored Ape called A Bored and Hungry. And they literally all throughout it have branding of his picture of his Bored Ape. Wow. And just like right here, it just so happened recently, Seth Green, this guy had just had one of his Bored Apes stolen, but he was actually going to use the IP and create a whole cartoon series based off his Bored Ape.
Wow.
Because he owns it, because he owns the NFT.
That's awesome.
Digital ownership.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible. So, I mean, the uses of this are coming all over the place. What else should people be looking out for in terms of that ratio between followers and likes? That's a very fascinating metric I would not have thought of. Is there anything you look for in the Discord?
Yeah, in Discord, you usually want it to have engagement. So let me pop open Discord here real quick. So I follow a lot of Discords, as you can see on the side here. I got quite a few. But like you can go and you can see, like, for instance, we'll go in this one right here. They've got like 12,000 people in it. But if you go to their general chat, you'll see, look at this. This red line shows today. Today, they've had 3 people out of 10,000 that have commented in their chat. Come on now. That's not even like 0.00%. You know what I mean? So that's some of the things. So if you go to some of the other ones, like here's Sandbox. If you go to theirs, since this morning, they've already had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. I mean, like, you can see the difference.
Oh my gosh.
And I mean, look, I'm still going. There you go. See, that's important. So engagement's important. Also, the way the Discord's laid out, does it have a purpose? Does it have a path that when you join it, you're able to go through it in advance and learn things about the project? Or is it just haphazardly thrown together? I mean, these things all make a difference in your Discord and the overall engagement. Discord is one of the cool things about it is once it gets going, it will continue to grow as long as there's interest in your project.
You tell me a lot about Discord. I mean, it really was not, I knew what it was. I just never really got into it, you know? And when you start showing me more of the Discord, I was shocked at how people use it for like onboarding. I mean, that there's all it's not just a chat. They do all this stuff. And I know someone might be watching this now. You're like, dude, you're on YouTube saying this about Discord. Yeah, I am. Because if you're not like a hardcore gamer, you probably are not on Discord and don't know this about it. And so there's a lot of cool automation when you get in the group and it almost self-manages once you teach it to do that. It's really amazing.
So one of the things that we've got, this is a Discord that I put together for my Empire Maker. We're teaching people all the basics for Web3 stuff, whether you want to be an artist or a dev, developer, whatever. So one of the things when you come in here, let's go to this one, Smiley Electric. This one's perfect. So this one right here, when you first join, it's hard to see right here, but when you first join, you get to pick your skills. So are you a singer? Are you a songwriter? Are you an engineer? Are you a producer? Do you do music visuals? And then down at the bottom, depending on what emojis you pick related to what topic, it opens up that area. Wow. So if I'm a singer and I click on this, you'll see off to the side right here, if I see how I unclicked it, now watch, I'll click it. Boom. See, all of a sudden the singer chat just opened for me right there. Wow. So that allows you certain access. And then when Discords are done properly, that's really how it does, is it directs traffic to certain areas. So you're able to educate yourself about whatever it is that's specific for that NFT project. Wow. So that's one of the things you can set it up. Discords are great too. They just for community stuff. I've had high level Discords where they're in here playing games of Halo together or something, or having tournaments. It's really, Discord is the community hub. It's where the community lives and breathes. Where Twitter's about announcements. Here's my thoughts about what's going on. It's quick things, quick. Where Discord's about what's going on in the community. Like, what are we doing in depth? How do we learn more about the project and become more associated with it and really become involved? That's what the Discords are used for, is really just taking it to that next level.
So you're starting NFT Nerds, or software that helps you see what all the products are. Then you click into them, seeing like, oh, how is their Twitter ratios and all that stuff? How is their Discord set up and all that? And then,
hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go hire, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
What else are you looking for that makes you go, you know what, I got to get this versus I'm going to skip this?
Well, one thing before we leave Discord, if they're selling 10,000 NFTs and they only have 10,000 people in the Discord, there's no way they're selling out. Okay, realize for a ratio, you need at least 3 to 4x of whatever your amount of NFTs are. So if you have a 10,000 NFTs, minimum 30 to 40,000 people in the Discord, because here's the deal. Half of them really aren't going to buy. They're there checking it out. It's just the factor of like anything else. When you think of something, a lot of times people are looky-loos. They just want to check it out. So you need that ratio. So I find it's usually a 3 to 4X for a project to sell out.
Okay. That's a great metric. So then we got one for Twitter, Discord. Awesome.
And then the other thing is you always want to go to their websites. That's another thing. So let's check out, here's Doodles. Here's a real popular one. This is considered a blue chip. They're selling for about 10 to 13 ETH right now, depending, you know, that's like 25 grand or whatever.
Yeah.
So one of the things you always want to check out is, sure, you want a story, you want understanding, but you want to be able to check out the founders. This is one of the big things. You see right here, these guys are what they're called doxed, which means they tell you who they really are. So this person right here, this guy is Kevin Kest. If I want to, I can click and it will take me to his Twitter and tell me actually who this person is and that type of stuff. When you find people in the past that don't have, that aren't doxed and don't have their full names on here, you don't know who they really are. A lot of times those can be rug pulls. And what a rug pull is when they'll do all the front end, but they don't do any of the back end delivery. So they'll put up everything. They'll make sites. They'll do everything. And a lot of people are like, why would they go to all that trouble? Well, for 40 or 50 grand to build everything out, I can make $1 million or $2 million and then just run away. That's why you have to be careful of who your founders are and make sure that they have experience. I see time and time again where a project's like, we're going to do the metaverse, or we're going to build a game. And then when you go look at the team, not one person's ever built in the metaverse and not one person's ever made a game. So how the hell are you telling me you're going to be able to do this? So those are very important things. Make sure that the founders, the people on the team, are able to actually pull off what they're telling you they're going to do. Because time and time again, you'll see these projects that will promise you the moon, but when you research their team, they don't have a foundation to be able to deliver. So that's something you really have to be able to check on is, can they deliver on what they're promising?
You know, it's really interesting to hear you talk about this because it reminds me of a lot of stocks and options trading I went through for a while. And you learn there, obviously, that there's technical analysis and fundamental analysis, and the technical is the charts, you know, and all that. You have a very fundamental analysis approach to finding NFTs to buy. And I actually have to say, it's very reassuring. It's powerful because, you know, this is I mean, there's a piece of me that's wondering if you were literally chart reading and you're like, when this line crosses this line, then buy that NFT. And I'm like, whoo, like there's not a lot of data points yet for that to be really solid. So it's as cheesy as that question might sound, I think others think that. And that there is like, you know, you're doing some crazy wizardry formulas and you're trying to figure out like, because it is another language. So why isn't the math another language? And they just overinflate what it really is. You're looking into projects, making sure the real community, seeing what the founders are and making sure that they have some experience behind it. And then does that make you feel like you're ready to pull the trigger, or is there something else that makes you go like,
no, usually at that point, I'll go in the Discord and I'll start engaging. I'll start asking questions. Like if the founders, if you ask a hard question and all of a sudden you get banned, probably not a good project to get into. You know what I mean? Like you would be surprised. You go in there and you just, it can't even be, sometimes they're not even hard question. It's just, you're asking something and it's not totally, boom, they ban you. There's a good chance that that project isn't going to be something you want to be involved in. You want projects that people are willing to answer. They're doing ask me anythings, both in the Discord and in Twitter spaces. You want them to be, especially when the project is launching, if the founders aren't able to be accessed, do you think they're going to be able to be accessed once it's live and everyone's hyped up and going? No, no, not at all. Hmm. So these are things you want to think of, like, what's the engagement like? Read through the Discord, find out what they're doing, see what other people are saying. It really takes research. I mean, you really have to DYOR, which is do your own research for this. I can give you ideas and things, but again, does the project speak to you? Is this something you want to be a part of? Because sure, you can flip NFTs, but that day's hard now, man. A year ago, you could have got into flipping NFTs for a couple $100. Now, realistically, the flip NFTs, you're not going to be able to make the mint, which is, we talked about that in previous videos, when the first time the NFTs made, because there's, for big projects, there's 50,000, 100,000 people trying to get 10,000 NFTs. So most likely you're not going to be able to get them. So you're going to have to buy them on the secondary market. Mm-hmm. Usually a good project is going to run about $1,000 per NFT, you know? Mm-hmm. So if I want to buy three of them, which is what I usually do, I'll buy like three, I'll keep one or two of them and then sell the other one to recoup my cost. So that way it's basically get in the project for free.
Yeah.
And then, so then I'll buy them. So let's say I buy three, that's $3,000 right there. Well, you're probably going to have to get into four or five different projects to find that one that just blows up and goes to the moon. Yeah. So three times four is $12,000 right there, you know? So realistically, if you want to get into NFTs and flip them for money, you're going to need about $10,000 to be able to do it. That's why the average person isn't able to get into it. And that's one of the big fallacies that's put out there right now is people see all this movement and they're like, oh, I'm going to get in, I'm going to make millions. Those are the highlights, okay? Realize you're seeing people's highlights. You're not seeing the reality. Most people that try to flip NFTs will lose money. I'm just going to be honest with you. Most people that try to flip NFTs are going to lose money. You need to look at NFTs as a long-term investment in a project. What is this going to give me because I'm a holder? I'm a holder, and this is how it's going to affect me and change my life, not just make me a couple bucks.
That makes sense. So that it's you're buying for the project, not a flipping thing. Unless you're like versed, you know, you're like, it's just,
well, that's the thing. If you got $50,000 in the bank and you know NFTs like me, you can make some good money, like good money, but it's a hard journey. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And which I think is cheap. One of the powers of this is that it's the market, in my opinion, has self-corrected back to, no, this is what we, the people, really care about. Like,
oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Instead of like it just being this crazy fest, like, of course there are scams, but the scams in everything. And, you know, this is more about really caring about the thing you're investing in and being a piece of its long-term ascension. Like that's huge.
That's how really I view projects now when I'm looking to get into something is like, do I want to be in this long-term? Because sure, a good project in a year from now will be worth even more. You know what I mean? Like maybe in a year you decide you want to get out or whatever. You're going to be able to look at Bored Apes. They came out just a month and a year ago. When they came out, they were $400. The minimum floor right now is like 95 ETH, which is like $120,000.
Jeez.
What if you'd sold that Bored Ape for $400? Oh, guess what? I'm going to flip it. I'm going to make $800. Woo!
Yeah.
And now if you would just hold it and believed in the project, it'd be worth hundreds of thousands, plus the coins they've dropped and everything else they've given to their holders.
So it's a really interesting way to look at it then, because in an entrepreneurial sense, we can look at our offers, which I call them projects a lot of times, like, oh, this project. And it's like, well, why can't business and NFT be combined? And that's exactly what's happening right now. And there's people looking around going, you know what? I'm going to make this part of my, I mean, that's what you and I are doing together for ours, right? We're doing a lot of melding of my product line with NFT because it's just where it's going.
Well, that's the easiest incorporation of NFTs into a current business structure. If you have something that's roughly a product that's $400 or $500 or more right now, because of the cost and the technology, it needs to be at least $400 or $500, or it's really not worth it for as much as you might as well just sell it in fiat or regular dollars. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So, but if you can have that, say, for instance, a business like maybe you're okay. Luxury items are a perfect example. So you take a Prada, they make like 1500 of a certain line of purses during this season. That's like the perfect idea of an NFT. So what you do is you make 1500 NFTs, you price them at whatever you want it to be. And when you buy it, you get the purse. Think about this. When you look at luxury items, it's one of the most highly faked things out there. Mm-hmm. You talk about like women all the time. They're like, is that a real product or is that a fake one? You know, that's like one of the most, now you have the antivy. Like, look, it's real, bitches. Excuse my language, but sorry. I got excited. But there, you know, you'll be able to say, you probably bleep that out, but he'll probably, hey guys, guess what? This is real. So this is one of the ways that people are not only able to do that, but think about this, because you're able to verify the bag is real, because you own the NFT, you can now resell it and even make money on it. You know what I mean? It's a limited edition. And that's what it's about, is owning an NFT is like exclusivity. It's like you're getting into a members only type club that has certain privileges. Membership has its privileges. You know, it's the same thing with these NFTs, is a lot of times it's really just an access pass. You know what I mean? It's your, here's your ticket and here's the ride. You know what I mean? Like, what's that ride going to be? And that's really, people get caught up in the art of stuff. And it's really, like we talked before, art's a very small percentage. It's just like if you buy a ticket to a concert, the art's on a ticket.
Yeah.
But is the ticket's getting you in? It's not the art getting you in. Same thing with NFTs. It's just something pretty to put on the front of it so you're not looking at code. If not, you literally would be looking at code. No one wants to look at code. Right. So instead of me looking at code, I've now got a pretty picture that the code is sort of inside.
That's awesome. That's a great way to describe that. Absolutely. Well, hey, thanks for being on here. Appreciate that. And just for everyone else, blatantly just going to tell you, look, we're launching an NFT. Go to capitalistpig.io. Capitalistpig.io is all the information on our project and what we're doing. And Jeffrey and I are doing that together. We're super excited for that. He's obviously a master, as you can tell. If you're like brand new at this and you really don't know what to do first, though, I would go to buyyourfirstnft.com. Buyyourfirstnft.com is a free 5-day, just a little educational thing that Jeffrey and I are doing on, look, here's what a wallet is. You know, here's how to set it up. And we make it very, very simple, easy to follow. And that's a great place to start too. But Jeffrey, thanks for your time.
You know, something really great too about that Buy Your First NFT is it allows you to learn the basics without having to worry about getting scammed. It gives you like a safe environment to learn and be able to grow. And that's so important in this space because there are people out there that are going to misguide you. And getting involved in something like Buy Your First NFT allows you to learn all the basic steps without having to worry about any of the pitfalls you can fall into along the way.
Thanks for talking about that. And we also have made it so that it is, for those of you guys who have a business, how does it incorporate into your existing product line? This isn't about shut down your company and become a professional NFT flipper. This is how do you use NFT in a company? And that's what you also learn in there. So really powerful.
Right. And you know what, too, speaking on that, in the future, NFTs will just be a part of the business. Just like there's a marketing department, there'll be an NFT department that will just run the NFTs in every business. NFTs will be incorporated into every business in the future just because it's going to allow people to actually have digital ownership.
Yeah, so huge. Well, thanks for being here. Appreciate it. Thanks for everyone else. Go check out those sites if you're interested. We'll put the details down below and in the comments. Bye.
Peace.
NFT, crypto, DeFi, it's obviously all here to stay. And the tech adoption rate for this whole thing has been faster than the actual internet's adoption rate in the mid-90s, which is crazy. And there's actually a lot of billionaires that have moved a lot of their funds to crypto because it's like a stable asset for them now. It's mind-blowing. So how do entrepreneurs use this? Number one, don't abandon your business, okay? We've been using NFTs as community builders and product builders, and we want to show you guys how to do it. If you want to learn how NFTs fit naturally into your internet business, just write in. Go to buyyourfirstnft.com. That is literally the domain. And it's a free 5-day challenge. We're not talking about pixelated weird animals wearing rainbow crowns, which I think is really weird. And that's just how NFTs have been used, but that's not how we use them. There's an insane biz op right inside your own list and customer base, and we'll show you guys how to bolt that right into your business for free at buyyourfirstnft.com. Again, it's a step-by-step guide on how to set everything up and simplify all the tech stuff if you've never done this before. And those of you who have, we'll show you guys some pretty powerful how to bolt NFT to anything magic. So go over to buyyourfirstnft.com and take the free 5-day challenge now.